nursery. Grab hold of your Bibles and stand with me. Let's hold them up and say together, this is the Word of God, and boy, I'm glad it's true. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Let's say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. We're going to go to the Old Testament this morning. We're going to turn to Judges chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12. We're going to start out with Judges chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. The title of the message is simply Deborah. I kind of wanted to title it Deborah, One Mean Mother, but decided that probably wouldn't be appropriate. One Tough Mother. All right. Judges chapter 5, starting with verse 11. Far from the noise of the archers among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinadab. Let's pray. Lord, once again, we find ourselves humbled and grateful that your word has everything that we need. And I pray, Lord, that as the word goes forth, Lord, that we would receive what you have for us, anointing our ears to hear, hearts to receive. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amazing woman, Deborah. She's several things. She was a woman, of course. Goes without saying. She was a musician and a bit of a poet. And she was a mother, as the scripture called her, mother of Israel, or mother in Israel. So she was a mother, and it's always fun to look and see in the scriptures what God does through his people. And in this case, Deborah being a mother. And she rose up and she became, kind of out of nowhere, she became a leader. She became a fearless warrior. I don't know if any of you know the story of Joan of Arc. Deborah was 2,500 years before her. And their stories are pretty similar. Both of them just kind of rose out of nowhere to lead armies of 10,000 men to victory over oppressors. Joan of Arc at Orleans, this was a French event, and Deborah at Mount Tabor in the northern part of Israel. The conditions were not good in France, and the conditions were not good in Israel at the time that Deborah rose to power. If you read that context of this message, you'll find that the Israelites didn't even use the main roads because they were so oppressed. They stayed into the back roads when they traveled, that their oppressor would come down on them, and there was the high taxes, and there was even they were attacked and killed, and it was not a good situation. But worse than that was that the Israelites had backslidden. They had wandered away from God, and they were worshiping in heathen and pagan religion. It was a bad situation, and God called a mother, God called Deborah, to rise up and to be his woman in this situation. Judges chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anamith, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked among the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among the 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who have offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. It goes on to talk about the situation in Israel. It's interesting, though, as deteriorated as it was before Deborah rose to leadership, 175 years previous to that, the Israelites were in a completely different situation. 175 years before that, Joshua was leading them across the Jordan River, and they were having victory over the city of Jericho, where the walls came down. Now these Israelites feared God. They feared God, but they didn't fear anything else. And they were unbeatable. 175 years later, the Israelites didn't fear God, and they feared everything else. They were cowards. They were hiding. There isn't anyone who would rise up in Israel that could address the situation until God called Deborah. And she rose up. She went right straight to the top. Now, does God use women? Why would God choose a woman? Take a look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all what? You're all one in Christ Jesus. It kind of blurs the gender line a little bit, doesn't it? It is interesting that sometimes the churches haven't gotten very far on that front. The Bible makes it very clear that it was because of her that the Israelites gained victory in this situation. She even tried to give the credit to the general, but he wouldn't do it. Anybody know who Lepidoth is? Probably not. You'll find him in the text there somewhere. It was her husband. Now we don't know much about him, but we can deduct a few things about him. We can deduct that he recognized God's call and work in her, and he supported her. Over the many years, many, many, many years, how many women who have had gifts and been called by God have been suppressed because they were women? Now, I'm not on a campaign here, but it seems to me that as you look back through the ages, God always had his man or his woman. He will use whoever is willing and available, and he doesn't consider gender. Here's a quote from the women of the Bible. Deborah would never have become the dazzling figure she did had she not had the love, the sympathy, the advice, and the encouragement of a husband who was happy to ride in the second chariot. End quote. Judges chapter 4, starting with verse 14. We're going to read a little bit of this story. I don't know if that's pronounced Barak or Barak, but I'm going to go with Barak. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword. Okay, let me pause here a second. With the edge of what? Sword. Didn't it just say they didn't have any weapons? Somewhere between the time that Deborah rose up to the time that they went to battle, there was enough weapons acquired or made for 10,000 men. That's a whole lot of weapon going on, you know. And that was Deborah's doing. They didn't have any weapons before that part, but she prepared them for this battle. So they went into battle. Verse 15, "And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his armies, the edge of the sword, before Barak, and Sisera alighted from his chariot, and he fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the armies of the Harosheth Hagonim, Ephta, and all the army of Sisera fell at the edge of the sword. Not a man was left." However, Sisera had fled. Now we're going to learn about another woman. Two women won this battle. "However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jeruel, and the wife of Heber, Kenite, Hazebor, whatever, Verse 18. And Jero went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, and do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened up a jug of milk and gave him to drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there a man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, and he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And then Barak pursued Sisera. Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. It's kind of a gory story, isn't it? Okay, now I can say it. There's a couple of really tough mothers. Wow. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to take charge. And when God spoke to these women, and we know for sure one of them was a mother, and I'm guessing they were both mothers. When God spoke to them, they listened to God, and they rose up, and they became mighty and great, not from nowhere, really. And why? Because they just listened and obeyed God. They did what they had to do, what God told them to do. You know, sometimes, I don't know what it's like, obviously, to be a female, other than I'm wearing a corsage today. By the way, some of you did in late. That's compliments of Darcy. I'm being mother and father today. She got me a Mother's Day card, too. Amen. Yeah. So I'm blessed. But I don't know what it's like to be a female, but I would think in a man's world sometimes it can be a little bit challenging. And as a mother, you know, we talked about that already earlier today. It's challenging raising children, even though it's the best job in the world. I know that it's challenging because I've talked to many a mother who is weeping their eyes out, but still held fast to that unconditional love to their children. It's got to be kind of hard, but it would help us to be reminded, I think, that God doesn't see the gender, that God will use whoever he calls and whoever is willing to come forward, even for leadership. You know, I talked about it earlier. I think back on how many women that have been called and have been challenged by God, and some spouse or some male leader or something would not allow that to take place. We hope that really doesn't happen here. But it is part of the culture. The Israelites, men pray in the temple, "Thank thee, O Lord, that thou didst not make me a woman." But you know, it's interesting that God is the one who engineered the whole mother thing. You know, it could have been done some other way. We've seen a lot of science fiction movies. You know, could have been an easier way, right, ladies? But this is what he chose to do. So much so does he love his plan, his creation, the way he put it together, that Jesus, his only son, was born of a woman. He entrusted to her this baby who was the Son of God when he was the most vulnerable and the most helpless that he could possibly be. And this mother, Mary, held that baby and protected that baby and raised that baby and nurtured that baby. That tells you something about what God thinks about mothers, I believe. It's an awesome thing. God loves moms. Some of you are moms. Some of you will be moms someday. Some of you will never be a mom, obviously. In closing, I'll have to say this. You know, God created it that way. And I hope as a mother you really appreciate that. I lived in Iowa City for a while, and I ran into a group of people that I saw far too often that frequented the motel where I had a Victory Assembly of God was in. We set it up in the banquet hall every Sunday and took it down every Sunday and had an office in the motel. And there was a group of men that came and visited that motel that were, they would rather have been women, if you know what I mean. And they dressed up real nice in their heels and their dresses and their nylons. And I come busting out of my office one day and almost ran into one. The ugliest woman I ever saw. See, God had a purpose. And the devil and man try to warp it wherever it's God's purpose. But I just thank God that these strange people didn't figure out how to have babies, aren't you? Deborah. There's a Deborah in you. Wake! Awake, O Deborah! Arise. Hopefully, one of the things that you'll get out of this message this morning is that if you feel like you've been called or you feel like there's something that God wants you to do and you haven't done it because you're a mother or because you're a woman, maybe this will encourage you. And before you leave, we're going to pass out tent pegs. Just kidding. I think instead of that, we're probably going to pass out candy bars. So I'm going to challenge you, and then I'm going to have you just hold on a little bit, and we'll pass out these candy bars. Pat, you know, she put them in a nice little cloth-covered basket. I have a Walmart bag. I get what's left over. And then Dave, I asked Dave if he could maybe find something like a basket, and so we got a bucket. Not quite the same either. But let's pray. Can have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. Perhaps this morning there's someone that would say, Pastor Ed, I've never given my life to Christ, and on Mother's Day that would be a perfect time to do that. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up and say, would you pray? Be praying for me? I want to give my life to Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. Or perhaps you have, but you have run afoul of the fear of God. It's like the Israelites did. They didn't fear God anymore, but they feared everything else. Perhaps that's you in your life. You've kind of run afoul of the fear of God, and you really need a new dose of the fear of the Lord. And we'll pray you get it the easy way, right? Instead of the hard way. If that's you this morning, I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? I see that hand. You can put it down. I'll wait just a moment. Anyone? All right. I'm going to pray for you. But before I do, perhaps there's someone here that feels like they have held back on what God wants them to do because perhaps you're a mom or female and you didn't feel like God could use you. This is kind of specific to the women this morning, the mothers. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up. I'll know who to pray for, that you would like the Lord to really challenge you and help you. Lord, he called you. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You. Several people this morning. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray for those that need a renewal of the fear of God in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you do that in the gentle way rather than the hard way. Lord, that they would see what it is, the steps that they need to take in line with that fear of God. And I pray that you would help them do that. We pray it in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, for those that lifted their hands, Lord, that have felt perhaps held back and have called and have been challenged but haven't acted on it because of one thing or another. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up Deborahs all over this congregation this morning, Lord, that we would see more fully the work of God in this body as we allow your people to grow into the calling that they have. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, don't go anywhere because I want all the mothers to come up front here and I want you to face the audience. Jeff, would you give me a hand and pour some candy bars in the bucket? Ladies, come on up. We're going to pray for you. Come on up. Face the congregation.
Which one do you want me to save for you?
I have a feeling there'll be some left over. Yep. All right, we got a full bucket, and we have two more bags.
Are you doing the passing?
Yeah, I think I'll do it this time. But you stay there, because I'm going to have to refill the bucket. Okay, first off, we're going to pray for these ladies, these mothers. If there's any mothers, still back there, come on up. You don't have to be a member of this church. Lord, you see before you, and we see before us, Lord, a mighty, mighty force for you. And Lord, you have made them special. And Lord, you consider them and hold them as special in your heart. And we do too. And Lord, we just pray that your blessing would be upon them. Lord, that you would help them have the freedom to be able to follow you and obey you and to do the things that you ask them to do. I pray, Lord, there would be great leadership that would blossom from this group. And many of them already have. And Lord, whatever it is that you call them to do, we just want to release them to that. We want them blessed. We want to bless them. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, guys, let's give them a hand.